I was asked last week to present Elder Cole's message for this Sunday. And I know it's not easy, but I didn't know it was, in fact, very hard to present something that is not written by me. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide me and lead me in all things, that his name be glorified. Today's message, the Lord's goodbye to a beloved home, from John 12, 1 to 11. Please always have John 12 bookmark. Please look at John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. The previous chapter deals with the Lord's raising Lazarus from the dead. It records that because Jesus had performed many miracles, and the latest, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the religious leaders, out of self-preservation, took counsel to put him to death. They were fearful that if the whole Jewish nation were to believe on Jesus, the Romans would come and take away both their place and nation. They were fearful that the Romans might see the falling of the Lord had as a rebellion, and therefore would quell it. And in the process of doing so, would destroy the temple, the nation, and the authority and the power that the religious leaders were enjoying. Of course, they didn't want to lose their authority and power. Their fear was unfounded because in reality, the Romans were quite indifferent to peoples following Christ. Because the kingdom of Christ was not an earthly political kingdom, but a spiritual one, it would pose no threat at all to the Roman rule. So it was for a very selfish reason that the religious leader that the religious leaders took counsel to put Jesus to death. In fact, later on, when the Lord appeared before Pontius Pilate, Pilate knew that it was out of envy that the Jewish leaders wanted Christ to be crucified. It was now dangerous for the Lord to return to Bethany, a village which is 3 km from Jerusalem, where he had recently raised Lazarus from the dead because the Jews wanted to kill him. It was dangerous from the human standpoint, but our Lord is the all-powerful one. No one could lay hands on him except he permitted it. The hour had now come when he would lay down his life. In a few days' time, he would yield himself to be crucified. Now notice, it was 6 days before the Passover when he arrived at Bethany. He took time to prepare for the Passover. He was well prepared to participate in it. Now how well prepared are we for the worship service every Lord's Day? Do we start our preparation for the worship on Saturday night, or do we spend time watching a late night movie on Saturday and come totally unprepared for the worship service on Sunday? Do we make the necessary preparation to make sure that we are early for church? Then what preparation do we make for participating in the Lord's Supper? Do we come before it with clean hands and a pure heart? Do we come before it with forgiving spirit? Are we fully aware that the bread represents the body of Christ and the cup his precious blood? Do we come before it with rededicate ourselves to him, to serve him till he comes again? Or are we very careless when we partake of the elements? Let's take heed to this warning given in his word. And I read this to you. It's taken from 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let us this morning consider 3 points. The first point, the Lord's final goodbye to this beloved home in Bethany. Second, the Lord's being honored by this family at Bethany. Third, the Lord's betrayal by Judas. Let's consider the Lord's final goodbye to this home in Bethany. This was the Lord's last visit to this home, the home he loved dearly. And in John 11:5, which is one chapter before, we read, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." This was the home in which the Lord enjoyed very warm hospitality and the one he would stop at in his trips to the city of Jerusalem. Why did he visit this home at this time? Well, his purpose was obviously to say farewell to this beloved people, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. To whom would you say farewell? If you are dying, people you would say farewell to will be your loved ones. Yes, we hear of accounts of people who are dying, who will not die until they have seen all their loved ones by their bedsides. They love them and they will not die until they have a chance to say farewell to them. The Lord loved this family and was now saying farewell to them. As we think of these three, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, if you and I were living in Bethany in those days, would we be the Martha's, the Mary's, and the Lazarus's that the Lord would come and say farewell to? Do we love the Lord as much as Martha, Mary, and Lazarus? They expressed their love for him by the warm hospitality they showed him. As I said before, the ability to show hospitality is a gift from the Lord. Today, we can't physically show hospitality to our Lord, but we can surely show hospitality to believers and to servants of the Lord. And I would like to broaden the scope of the hospitality ministry to include visitation ministry and the care for the down and out. On the day of reckoning, our showing hospitality and our ministering to those believers in need will be well rewarded. We might now not know that we are doing it unto the Lord, but the Lord will reckon what we do as unto him. I'd like us to revisit Matthew 25 for this truth. Please open up your Bible to Matthew 25, begin with 34 and end at 40. The Gospel of Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. I'll read this portion to you. Matthew 25, 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now the next reason for the Lord's final visit to this home was to honor this home. One of the most natural things you would do when, let us say, you are visiting a place and you are about to leave, it is to say farewell to the one you honor and respect. Now, let us say that you send by your company to visit your parent company. At the end of the visit, you would surely call on the important people you met with to bid them goodbye. These are people you respect. They are important to you. You want to make sure that you accord them the proper honor, and you do it by saying goodbye to them. The Lord was according this family this honor. These were people he loved. These were people he cared for him. These were people who cared for him. He had now come to accord them this honor of saying farewell to them. And he indeed accorded them the greatest honor by visiting, by having this visit of his to this house recorded in his word. Throughout the ages, readers and hearers of God's word would have known of this visit. And mind you, this record is permanent. If there, it is there forever and ever, for the Lord say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one dot or tittle of my word shall pass away. Now, as we think of this honor given to this family of believers, let us think of the greater honor that they will receive from him someday. The Lord will make them, as he will other saints of his, kings and priests. We read this truth in Revelation 5:10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. In the parable of the talents given to servants, the Lord tells us of those who are faithful in the use of their talents. He said to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He will honor them by making them rulers over many things. And surely this family in Bethany had made use of their talent by showing hospitality well. They show it to Jesus. If the Lord has given you the talent to be hospitable, use it for him. If he has given you the talent to minister to fellow believers in need, use it for him. On the day of reckoning for the faithful use of this talent, he is going to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That commendation will be the greatest honor given to you, even you are not made rulers over many things. Now the Lord's visit to this home has the impact of directing attention to Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Let us refer to our text this morning, John 12, verse 1 again. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they make him a supper, and Martha serve. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, go to verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. The truth that he was raised up from the dead could not be denied. There he was, seated with the guests, among whom was the healer, the Lord Jesus Christ. anybody among the guests or onlookers wanting to challenge the power of Christ of raising people from the dead had only to look at Lazarus. He was well aware, as a short time ago he was dead. He was dead for 4 days before this man, Jesus, raised him from the dead. Friends, let us think of this scene with believing hearts. As the Lord raised up Lazarus, he had the power to raise himself up, which he did. As he had the power to raise Lazarus up, he has the power to raise us up too. Those who die in Christ on the day of resurrection, he will raise them up. Christ is the answer to the question, after death, what? Have you settled this question yet in your heart, or are you still searching for the answer? This incident in the life of Christ is not recorded for no purpose, but to tell us with no uncertainty the truth of the resurrection, to the point and to point to the truth of what Christ said of himself. Please go back to John 11, 25 and 26. John 11, 25 and 26. I read this to you. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The Lord was asking Martha, believest thou this? He asked you this same question today. Believest thou this? Do you believe that I have the power to raise you up from the dead? Now, let's consider the Lord's been honored by this family at Bethany, which is the second point. See how this family honored Jesus in his last visit to their home before his death. Our text, John 12, verse 2. There they make him supper and Martha serve. They make him a grand feast and Martha serve. This feast was made as a token of respect for him. It was made to express their love for and gratitude to him. They were grateful to him for raising one of their family members, Lazarus, from the dead. Oh, dear friends, what are our feelings towards the Lord? He has raised us up spiritually. The day will come when he will raise us up bodily with him. But now he had raised us up spiritually. As that family in Bethany showed their gratitude towards the Lord, so must we. How much we show our gratitude towards him? We must show it by believing in him and by obeying him. See what we must do. If we truly believe that he has raised us up spiritually, we can't be the same. We cannot be the same as we were before. There must be transformation in our lives. In Colossians 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. In other words, we must put to death this passion. What are this passion? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, meaning lust, evil concupiscence, meaning evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But now, ye also put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now look at Martha. Look at her. She showed her love and gratitude by serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the talent she was given. She was gifted at showing practical hospitality. Once before, she was rebuked by the Lord for being encumbered, troubled by her much serving. This took place on another of the Lord's visit to this home. On that occasion, Mary, her sister, sat at Jesus' feet while Martha troubled herself with much serving, and she complained to the Lord about not receiving help from Mary. I refer you to Luke chapter 10, 40. Luke 10, 40. On this account. Luke 10, 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She was rebuked then. Subsequently, did she swing to the other extreme of not serving at all? No. She must have correctly gotten the message from the Lord. Yes, it is good and important and necessary that we serve, but we must not be so task-orientated that what we do becomes a drudgery. Perhaps Martha was feeling that way because she was careful and troubled with many things. But the wonderful thing is that she did not stop serving after the Lord's rebuke. How needful that we maintain such an attitude. There could be times when a brother or a sister comes and admonishes us not to go into extreme of being task-orientated and forgetting that the purpose of our service is unto the Lord. Let us take the admonishing with a good spirit and let us not stop serving, but continue to serve with zeal, but in a more balanced way, always giving the Lord the glory due unto him. Now let us turn our attention to how Mary served Jesus. In verse 3 of our text, John 12, 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spinet, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What was the purpose of anointing the Lord's feet with that costly ointment and then wiping his feet with her hair? What's the reason? What's the purpose? Now we need to understand that for women folk to wash the feet of their male guests was not unusual. In fact, this was one of the qualifications of those who were classified as widows indeed or true widows, who are counted as being worthy of support by the church during the time of the Apostle Paul. But what was unusual was that she anointed the feet of the Lord with a very expensive ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. The ointment was very expensive. If Judas was correct, the ointment could have cost 300 pennies. One penny was the wage of a farm worker per day in those days. So 300 pennies would have constituted the wages of a worker for 300 days, the ointment was indeed very, very costly. Her anointing the Lord's feet and washing them with her hair surely showed the kind of generous love she was pouring upon the Lord. She was surely very grateful to the Lord for all the loving, kind, and comforting words that he spoke to her during his visit to their home. She must be very thankful for the times when she could sit at the Lord's feet to listen to this Lord of hers. Did she know that the Lord was going to die? There is no record to show that she did, but look at what the Lord said in verse 7 of our text. Then Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this." This could suggest that she knew. The Lord could have told her of his impending death. If this was the case, then his anointing with this very expensive ointment must be her parting gift to him. She had kept this gift for this particular occasion. This generous gift surely showed how generous her love for the Lord was. The Lord has given so much for us. He gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. What have we given to him? Is it too much to give our time, our energy, and talents to him? Is it too much to give our time to him for the much that he has given us? We are very good at being theoretical. We tell the Lord, "Lord, I love you. I'm willing to give myself to you as a living sacrifice." But let us ask ourselves how much of a living sacrifice we are presenting to him when the giving touches our pocket. There was this rich man who was a good and faithful giver in this church. In the church, there was a poor woman who was a widow. She worked very hard to support herself and her 6 children. She gave regularly out of her meager earnings. This rich man felt very sorry for her and went to the pastor and said, "This woman ought not to give. What she gives is a very great sacrifice. Please tell her not to give. I will increase my giving by the amount that she gives so that she need not to have to give." This pastor went to tell this woman about the kind gesture of this rich man. Tears came to the eyes of this woman. She said, "Please, thank this gentleman for his kindness. But does he want to take from me the comfort I experience in giving the Lord's work? Think how much I owe him. My health, my children are kept well. I receive so many blessings from the Lord that I think I couldn't live if I did not give my offering to Jesus each week. No, I must continue to show my gratitude to him." Now, what kind of spirit of giving do we have? Do we give unto the Lord out of generous love for him? How well do we give? When we give, do we count it as a privilege that we are able to give? Our love for the Lord is surely expressed proportionately by our willingness to give unto him. Now, Mary's anointing of the Lord also showed that she had believing love for the Lord. I repeat again, Mary's anointing of the Lord also showed that she had believing love for the Lord. It was both generous as well as believing love. Her sister Martha had, in the previous chapter, just before the raising of Lazarus, make this confession in John 11:27. You may want to turn back one chapter. She said unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, we should come into the world. Mary, I dare say, was spiritually more contemplative than Martha. If Martha could make this confession, surely Mary could have made it too, perhaps in an even more convicted manner. She must surely have believed that the Lord is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Her anointing of the Lord was out of a believing heart. She believed in the Lord and she loved him and had kept this very expensive gift for this occasion. Friends, do we believe that he is the Son of God? Do we believe that he took on human form and became man? Do we believe that he died for us on the cross of Calvary, that he shed his precious blood for us? The question is, if we do, do we love him as we ought to love? If we say we do believe him to be what he is and do love him as we claim we do, in what practical ways have we shown that to be the case? Let's not just talk. Look at Mary. Her love for the Lord was generous and believing. Let us be like her. Finally, let's look at the Lord's being dishonored by the traitor Judas. Here was an apostle who walked 3 years with the Lord, but he turned out to be a traitor. He held a very responsible position in the Lord's company. He was the treasurer. Here we are reminded that closeness to holy things does not convert a person. You could be a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher. You could be a child of a pastor. You could be participating in church prayer meeting. You could be singing in the choir, but you might still not be converted. Let us do some soul searching. Listen to what Judas said when he saw Mary anointing the Lord Jesus Christ with that expensive ointment. In our text, verse 5 and 6, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Why did Judas say that? Verse 6, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bear what was put therein." He sounded very religious and pious. He sounded as if he was very concerned for the poor. In truth, he was not. He was really a hypocrite. He was saying, let us not waste the money. Let us lay the money up for charity. The truth was, with people like Judas, laying up the money up for charity is fine. But when it comes to laying out the money for charity, it's not fine. The truth was, Judas had his own agenda. He was hopeful of enriching the money back so that he could enrich himself. He was a thief. I trust that we are not wearing a mask when we come to church. We preach, teach, and sound religious and pious. Be sure we are not hypocrites, but the Lord knows our hearts. He sees not only the outside of us, but he sees the inside of us too. Then do we not see the worldly wisdom in the thinking of Judas? Why waste 300 pennies by pouring this ointment on the Lord? It is better to put the money in the bag rather than to waste it in this manner. I'm afraid too much worldly thinking has gone into churches when it comes to managing church funds. So when it comes to sending money to first world country to do missions work, the leaders in the church would say, why send the money to the first world? People there are well-to-do. They don't need our help. So no money goes to the first world from the church. Then when it comes to sending to the third world, they say the people in the third world are so poor, they cannot be trusted. If the money goes there, it will not end up in doing mission work, but in some people's pocket. So no money goes to the third world. Conclusion, no money is sent out. No money to first world, no money to third world. In the meantime, the church treasury continues to grow and the money sits in the bank to earn interest. But that is not what members of the church give the money for. They want their money to go and save souls. I pray that our church will never get into such a position. Was the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ a great waste? From the human standpoint, yes. But not from the standpoint of the Lord. Let us be careful that we not think that we are wasteful if we are spending for the Lord. If we are spending to extend His kingdom. Mary of Bethany received much and she gave much. She gave her best. So must we. What she did receive a great approval from the Lord. In verse 7 and 8 of our text, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. The Lord was saying, there will be ample opportunities for you to minister to the poor. But she kept this ointment for this special occasion to anoint me for my burial. Let her alone. For this home has a special place in the Lord's heart. It was one that loved the Lord and was one that showed kind hospitality to Him. Because of their service unto Him, the Lord honored this home by coming to it to say farewell to the members. He remembered their service unto Him. He remembers our service. He will honor us if we serve Him faithfully today. The greatest honor for us is to hear Him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This family honored the Lord by showing their kind and loving hospitality unto Him. Let us likewise honor by showing hospitality, particularly to servants of the Lord and fellow believers in need. We will have our heavenly reward. Mary showed her generous and believing love to the Lord Jesus Christ by anointing Him with the very expensive ointment. It appeared wasteful, but it was not. The Lord said, let her alone. She did it for my burial. Nothing spent for the Lord, no matter how costly, is wasteful. When we say, yes, I will present my body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, we are saying we are giving everything to the Lord. Surely that giving is not wasteful. It is right. It is only reasonable. Then be careful that we not be hypocrites like Judas. He appeared religious and pious, but was in truth a thief. We would appear religious. We could appear religious and pious, but let us be sure that we have only one agenda when we serve, not for self-gain, but for the glory of the Lord. Amen. In closing, let's turn